We'd like to turn the thoughts that we had this afternoon to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 is a lot. Isaiah is not an easy book to read and to completely follow all the way through. We certainly don't have that intention this afternoon, nor the ability. Well, we would like to look at a couple of scriptures that are found towards the end of that 50th chapter of Isaiah, namely speaking that verse 10 and verse 11. Isaiah says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow." Continue to pray for me with the thoughts that we have upon our hearts this afternoon. We'd like to try to speak upon darkness. Darkness, as it is mentioned in God's Word, there are many different aspects, different kinds of darkness when you look through God's Word, but we'd like to just look at a few of them that are obvious, the more obvious darknesses. And of course, before we do that, we'll just set forth what darkness is. Darkness is simply the absence of light. That's what it is. That's elementary, isn't it? It's the absence of light. Where there is no light, you have darkness. Now, where you have light, and this is a very important thing to remember and to consider in God's Word when you're looking at darkness. Where you have light, darkness must flee. Darkness must flee. Light has preeminence over darkness. Now, that's our own example in the nighttime. If we're out at night and we've got a flashlight, the darkness will not overpower the flashlight, the light of the flashlight, but the light is going to shine as far as it can, as far as it is able. And where it is able to shine, the darkness must flee. So that's an important aspect of darkness that we see. In the first chapter of Genesis, we see that there was darkness upon the face of the earth. And in the third verse, the Lord said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And so we see that there was a separation there, a dividing from the day and the night there. We see darkness in the Bible. We're not talking about a natural darkness, however. We're talking about a spiritual darkness. There are spiritual darknesses that are spoken of in the Bible. While we might understand the concept of light and darkness, naturally speaking, there's also a spiritual application in that. One darkness that is very easy to discern, very easy to see, is the darkness that the Apostle Paul spoke about in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, in the 8th verse, in Ephesians 5 and 8. The Apostle Paul said, "For we were sometime darkness." We were sometimes darkness. He says, "But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." Now there's an exhortation, isn't it? That we're to walk as we are. He said, "You were sometimes darkness." Now, this darkness that the Apostle Paul is talking about is the state of man in his unregenerate state. Without God in his heart, he is darkness. He is darkness. He's not just in darkness. He is the very darkness itself. Notice what Paul said. "For ye yourselves were sometimes darkness." He didn't say you were in darkness. We were the very darkness itself. For ye yourselves were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk therefore as children of light." So that we see that the child of God, without the Spirit of God in his heart, in an unregenerate state, is seen as a man of darkness. He is darkness. And when it's the light of life that John spoke about in the first chapter of John, he said Christ is the Word that is the light of life. It's talking about Christ. And when he shines the Spirit of God into our heart, the darkness must flee. It must give way to the light. So that we see there that similar instance there in another place in the first chapter of Colossians and about the 13th verse, the Apostle Paul said there that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I believe you'll agree with me this afternoon that darkness that we're speaking about is the same darkness that the Apostle Paul spoke about when he said, we were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. We were delivered from the power of darkness, and we were translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We were taken out of a place of darkness in Adam. We all fell in Adam. And we all were taken up, the child of God was taken up out of the family of Adam, and he was translated. That is to move from one place to another, translated by the power of God out of the family of Adam into the family of God. And it is God that is the translator. You talk about translating something from one language to another. The language doesn't translate itself from one language to another. There has to be a translator. There has to be somebody that does the translating. And I want to tell you, God translated us. He brought us out of the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So the child of God that's born again by the Spirit of God has a light in his heart by the operation of the Holy Ghost. He said it another place furthermore in the 8th chapter of John. He said, then spake Jesus in the 12th verse. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. He that followeth me, we're not talking about in gospel obedience. There is a gospel obedience in which we are to follow the Lord. But my friends, there's a sense in which we followed Him, in which we are passive. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 10:27. That's not a call for you to follow Him. It's saying that you have followed Him through the washing of regeneration that Paul talked about over in the book of Titus. That's a passive following the Lord there. He says He is the light of life. Now, this that we have before us, God's Word, is the light of understanding. But unless you already have the light of life, you're not going to understand anything from the light of understanding, God's Word. But it's God that's come to us. So there's a darkness there that's clearly seen. There's another darkness, and we'll get to our text in a minute. There's another darkness that I want to talk about just briefly that pertains to the child of God. Pertains to the one that has been brought out of darkness and been brought into light. Brought out of the darkness and into the light. It's a darkness that we can enter into in this life. The child of God can enter into in this life in our disobedience to God. There is a darkness that we can enter into. And remember what darkness is. Darkness is the absence of light. John said over in the first chapter of 1 John, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Understand what John's desire is. His desire is that their joy may be full. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we're walking in darkness, we're walking in disobedience to God, we're walking out of the way, how can we say that we're walking with God if we're walking in disobedience, that is darkness, if God cannot dwell in darkness, that wherever God is, there is light? We can't. We're liars, aren't we? And that's what John's trying to say. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, This light that we're talking about is not the light of regeneration. It's the light of obedience. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, what does He go on there and say? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Do we have to walk in this light with the light of life and obedience for Christ's blood to cleanse us of all sins eternally? God forbid. The Lord has done the work complete on Calvary's cross. When He said it was finished, it was finished. There's nothing, thanks be to God, that we have to do to receive or to accept the work that was done on Calvary's cross. But this purging, this cleansing that He's talking about here is a daily cleansing that the child of God enters into in his obedient walk with Christ in this life. So there's a darkness. He said in Isaiah 59, he said, is my hand shortened in that it cannot save? Let me go look at this in Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened in that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now, I draw a measure of comfort from that. The Bible says that His hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Aren't you glad? And I bet the Apostle Peter was glad when he was out on that ocean and he began to sink. I bet you he was real glad that the Lord's hand was not shortened that day. The Lord was able to reach down, and the Lord grabbed Peter up out of that. Even though Peter was lacking in faith, we've got a merciful God. And He was able to lift him, and He brought him up out of that. And I want to tell you, the Lord's hand is not shortened, and that it cannot save. Perhaps you say, brother, you don't know how big a pit that I have dug for myself. You don't know the things that I've done in my life. You don't know how far I've strayed from God. I'm telling you this afternoon, dear child of God, it doesn't matter what I know. What does matter, my friends, is God's hand is not shortened and that it cannot save. His hand is not so short that He can't reach down to the lowest depths of your depravity and your Satan and your sin and bring you up out of that in this life. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Nor are you thankful that the Lord always hears the prayer. Aren't you thankful that Paul said when he closed out that fourth chapter of Hebrews that we got a throne of grace, that we got a place, let us come boldly therefore to the throne of grace that we might obtain something. You know there's two things we obtain when we come to the throne of grace, grace and mercy. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And his ear is not heavy and that it cannot hear. You know sometimes it feels like my prayers don't reach above the ceiling. Do you ever get that feeling? Sometimes I feel like my prayers are no higher than the ceiling above my head. But you know, I realized something one time when I was praying and I just didn't feel like I was getting anywhere with my prayers. That God's a prayer. God's in heaven, but I want to tell you, He's the God under the ceiling as well. He's there with us in our troublesome times. And I'm thankful to know that His hand is not shortened and that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy and that it cannot hear. I'm thankful to know that our God is on the job 24/7. He is on the job 24/7. And I'm thankful to know, my friends, there's no waiting line when you come to the throne of grace. I'm thankful to know, my friends, when we come to the throne of grace, God is there for us right there. God is to hear our petition, and God's hand is not shortened and it cannot save. But listen to what Isaiah says in the second verse. But your iniquities, Judah, he's talking to the southern tribe, your iniquities, Judah, have separated you. We can separate ourselves from God. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins has hid His face from you. There's your darkness. When God hides His face, I want to tell you what we're in this life. We're in darkness. I want to tell you there are a lot of people in this life, dear child of God. I've run into them, and no doubt you have too, that are living a terrible way of life. Don't know it. Perhaps just brought up that way, and that's not an excuse for it. But unless you've walked a mile in their shoes, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to judge somebody that's raised up and living a terrible way of life. Perhaps they're hooked on drugs. Perhaps they're hooked on prostitution. No matter, or alcohol or whatever the case may be, my friends. And I want to tell you something, my friends. That doesn't take away from the work of our Lord and Savior on the cross. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. But I'll tell you, what they don't have that I would to God that they would find is that blessing is not walking in that darkness in this life, walking in the light as He is in the light, and having fellowship with God in this life. We can't do anything to lose our eternal salvation, but we can do everything to lose our salvation in this life, our walk with God. So we see a darkness there. And the unregenerate have a darkness there that is just shown in 1 John and also Isaiah 59. That's a darkness that we can stumble into in our disobedience to God. There's also a darkness that is outside of truth. That is outside of truth. I believe this day, dear child of God, that we are where the light is in His house. I'm reminded of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, that they were in a place there. You remember that ninth plague? The Lord brought a darkness so thick you could feel it. But it said in the land of Goshen they had light in their dwelling. In the land of Goshen, it was the Israelites who were there in the land of Goshen that had light in their dwelling. We have light, the light of truth in God's house. He told the woman that the Samaritan woman in the fourth chapter of John, He says, the true worshipers are those which worship Me in spirit and in truth. Do you remember over in the second chapter of Revelation, the trouble that the church of Ephesus was subject to get into there unto the angel of the church? Of Ephesus, write, these things saith He that holdeth the seven stars, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This is talking about Christ walking in the midst of the churches here, where the light is. It's in God's house that He gives us light. He tells the church, He says, I know thy patience and thy labor and thy works, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which are, say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne them, and hast borne and hast patience, and for My name's sake hast labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Boy, you know, when you read the things that the Lord is saying about the church of Ephesus, they're doing a lot of good things. They're doing a lot of good things. But there was one thing that they weren't doing. And because they weren't doing that, they were subject to losing the light. And if you don't have light, you have darkness. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come quick unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The candlestick, I'll remove the candlestick out of his place. What significance is that? No candlestick, no light. In darkness. In another place, talking about God's church in Matthew 22, the Lord talked about a parable, brought forth a parable that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which made a certain marriage for his son, and sent forth servants, called them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. That's the first calling. We don't have time to expound upon this. Perhaps another time. And the second calling that came out in the fourth verse was, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. We go on down through here, and he finally goes out, and he bids those servants, went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. We're talking about the church. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in thither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Where's this outer? This is not depictive of eternal heaven. My goodness, there's so many flaws with that. Are we going to go to heaven, and if somebody doesn't have the wedding garment, they're going to apostatize and fall out of the eternal state of heaven and go to hell? No, this is talking about the kingdom of heaven here now, the church of Jesus Christ, the pillar and ground of truth. It's talking about his church now. And there was one that came in that didn't have on the wedding garment, didn't have on the garments of humility and sacrifice to himself and to the Lord and to his people. And he came in there and he was cast into outer darkness, outside of the church. So we see that there is a light that we have, that the child of God receives in the new birth. There is a light that we can lose in our disobedience or in our obedience, walking in the light as he is in the light. And there's also a light that we have that is in the church, the Lord's church. There is a light found in God's church. It's the light of truth. It's the light of truth. But when we go back over here to Isaiah, it's somewhat strange when we read this. All those things that we talked about, the light, we can kind of comprehend that. We can understand why there's darkness and why there's light. Well, there's darkness for the unregenerate because he's not born again. Well, there's darkness for the disobedient child of God because he's disobedient. And there's darkness outside of the church because the church is where the truth is. All these things make sense to us. And then we turn to Isaiah 50, verse 10. And Isaiah says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that walketh in darkness?" "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" Now, that just doesn't make any sense with anything that we've just said. Here's somebody that is fearing the Lord. Here's somebody that's obeying the voice of his servant. Perhaps the voice of the servant's the preacher. He's obeying the voice of the Lord's servant. He's fearing the Lord. He's got a reverential fear of God. He respects God. He reverences God. And he's living in such a way as to obey the commandments of God. So he's a child of God trying to live in obedience to God, and he fears God. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and walketh in darkness and hath no light?" How is it that if we fear the Lord, that if we obey the voice of the servant, that we can walk in darkness and have no light? It happens. There are times that God will remove or seemingly remove his face from us, and our perception is it's a time of darkness. How many times? Let's face it. Nobody in here is anywhere close to perfect. That's a fair statement. Not anywhere close to perfect. But how many times in our own hearts have we felt like we are doing the right thing? And maybe we were. We had a fear of God. We were obeying the voice of the servant. And yet I'm walking in darkness and I have no light. I don't feel the presence of God in my life. His presence is removed from me, and I'm doing all those things. It is for our growth, and for our strength and encouragement in this life towards God. That's what it's for. When you are in that position, when you are in that shape, you have one of two options to do. Isaiah says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Who is among you? Isaiah wasn't talking about everybody. He said there were some among you, bound to be some among you that's in this condition right now. You feel like you're doing all that you're supposed to be doing. You're fearing God, but yet you feel like you're walking in darkness and you have no light. Lord, I've been praying to you day and night, and yet I haven't felt your manifested presence. I haven't heard you. I haven't heard you instructing my heart what I'm to do about these prayer requests that I've had. Where are you, Lord? You ever felt that way? I have. It's times of darkness that we go into in this life. There are times of darkness. But we can either trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Stay upon our God. And I want to tell you when trusting in the Lord is most important. And you understand this afternoon. Trusting in the Lord is most important when you don't feel the presence of the Lord. It's easy to trust in the Lord when everything is coming up roses. But we don't wear rose-colored glasses, do we? That's not always the case. Trusting in the Lord is the hardest, the test, the trial for the child of God in this life. And trusting in the Lord is not when things are going well. It's when we appear to be walking in darkness and have no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. The name of the Lord. He didn't say, let him trust in the Lord. That would have been good enough. He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord. What's the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord. He is the comforter, is he not? He is the God of comfort. That's the name of the Lord. He is the God of peace. That's the name of the Lord. He told Zacchaeus, when Zacchaeus came down from that sycamore tree, he said, today salvation has come to thy house. That salvation came to his house in the person of Jesus Christ. That's his name. That's the name of the Lord. He is salvation. He told Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. That's the name of the Lord. He is the resurrection and the life. He is all those things. The name of the Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord. And stay upon your God. He is Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the I Am. He is the Great I Am. I Am. Tell them that I Am sent thee, Moses. You know what I Am means? I am all that you will ever need. I am all my grace. As he told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. We can do nothing without him, but through him all things are possible. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God. Or, when we get into those times of darkness, we can follow suit after verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. Well, this is somebody, you see, that's not long-suffering. This is somebody, he's kindling a fire. He's getting it going. He's getting it ready. He's going to make his own light. It's time to get this thing going. I mean, I don't have time to wait around for God. I've got certain deadlines to meet. I've got to get this thing going. He kindles his own fire. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. There is your light. Walk in the light of your fire. Sparks. You ever seen, sparks that come up from a fire? Boy, I mean, they're just, just for a second, aren't they? They just come up and they're gone. They're gone. He says, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Can anybody relate to that this afternoon? Have you ever went ahead before God, try to figure out things on your own, do your own thing, and you just lie down in sorrow? Nothing works out for you. May we, in those times of darkness, may we trust in the name of the Lord. When those times of darkness come upon us in our obedience, may we trust in the name of the Lord. May we do as the psalmist said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what we're walking through in this life? We're walking through a valley of the shadow of death in this life. And David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thine rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, in another place we'll go before we close. In Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 17. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. I forgot. Now, he's not talking about prosperity, worldly prosperity. He's talking about spiritual prosperity, being prosperous in the Lord. He said, I forgot prosperity. I forgot what it was like to be in that light, to have those blessings. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and mine misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. That's trusting in the name of the Lord. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. And listen to what He says in this 26th verse. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that a man should both hope quietly and patiently, or quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Even in those times of darkness when they seem to come upon us, may we trust in the name of the Lord. May we stay upon our God. We talked earlier this morning about the first chapter of 1 Peter there, where the Apostle Paul was talking to the strangers scattered throughout Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. When he closes out talking to them, he says in that 5th chapter and in the 10th verse, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while. See, here's the darkness. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. As we trust in the name of the Lord in those times of darkness, He brings us through, and after we have suffered a while, He makes us perfect. He makes us complete. That's what that means. Make you perfect, established is to turn resolutely to a certain direction, knowing the will and the desires of God. That's turning resolutely, established. Established. Strengthen, of course, to reinforce, and to settle means to ground or establish. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of the servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God.